Today's reading will be coming from Psalm 19, so I'll just give you guys a second to find that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out from his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Thank you, Amore. My name is Simon. I normally attend the 4:15 and 6 services. I won't see you again for about 6 months, but it's been nice being here the last 2 weeks. This Psalm 19, it's actually one of my favourites. That's why we're looking at it today. But it's one of my favourites to read with my family when we go camping. So when we sit around the fire, I love cracking out the Bible and looking at Psalm 19. It's a beautiful psalm, and hopefully at the end of it, when you go camping next, and if you don't go camping, we need to have a pastoral conversation. But when you go camping next, then you can crack out Psalm 19, and it'll be really helpful for your time there. Anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the great gift that it is to us. Father, please help us now as we look at your word. Help us to be refreshed by it. Help our souls to be refreshed by it. Father, help us to realize that it truly is amazing that you have revealed yourself to us in creation. But Father, thank you so much that more than that, you've actually revealed yourself to us in your word. You've made it really clear how we can have a relationship with you through your son, Jesus. Father, please help us this morning as we look into your word. Father, I don't have to wear a mask, I guess, right now, but as these guys sit there in a mask, struggling to breathe, give them the strength to actually pay attention and to hear what your word has to say. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently my six-year-old daughter has been saying some really funny and kind of deep things. Her name is Nessie. She's the one who's awake in the picture. And so recently when we went camping, on the way to camping, she said to Dad, I said to me, "Hey, Dad, you know what, are there droppies where we're going camping?" And I was like, "Like drop bears? What do you mean by droppies?" She was referring to drop dunnies. Are there drop dunnies there? Droppies, that's a funny name, right? And when we got to the place we're going camping, there actually is droppies. And the hole that, you work it out, the hole is actually big enough for the one who's asleep in that picture to fall through. So going camping at this place with the droppies is actually kind of a bit of a stressful event. Hopefully they all come out alive. And I've actually thought about how you might get them out if they went through. It wouldn't be pretty. Anyway, so she's kind of saying stuff like that. She's calling them droppies. The other thing she said to me this morning, actually, her room is next to ours, and she has like double bunks with her little sister, and she sleeps on the top, and it's really rickety. Like, you can kind of hear them, every time they're moving, it's anyway, last night there was a lot of I was saying, what is going on in there? Anyway, this morning, I said to her, "Ness, did you have a good night last night? Because you sound like you were moving around a lot." And she's like, "Yeah, I had a great night, Dad. I was dreaming of riding unicorns." And I was like, "Oh,
That's pretty amazing. You must have been actually like really doing that, you know, like the jumping and all that sort of stuff, because it was, you know, it's quite noisy in there. Anyway, she says some funny things, and you know, I think kids at that age, they all start to say some funny things, but she's also been saying some quite deep things. Now, I don't even know if she understands what she's saying, but she says things like this. The other morning, it was 5:30 a.m, I've just woken up, kind of going out into the kind of the kitchen really to make some coffee, and she said to me, she's kind of waiting for me, she says, Dad, why does God forgive us for our sin if we sometimes sin on purpose? Why does God forgive us? Now, that is a deep, deep question for like very early in the morning in a pre-coffeed state, and you're kind of like just trying to struggle to kind of, you know, have your eyes open and kind of not fall over. And I said to her, well, you know, I don't know. I think it's because God loves us. But it's a pretty deep question, I think, for a six-year-old. I don't even know if she knows what she's talking about. Now, you might have your own questions for God. Like, why is there pain and suffering in the world? Why is there kind of the COVID-19 issue? Why does God forgive us for our sin? You might have your own questions for God, but the great thing about the God of the Bible, the great thing about the God of creation, is that in his mercy and in his grace, he has revealed himself to us. Through creation, he shows us that he exists. But more than that, he's had his word written down for us so that through his word, the Bible, we can actually know what God is like. And that's really what Psalm 19 is all about. It's about God revealing himself to us through creation and through his word. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Psalm 19. Our first point this morning is that God reveals himself to us through creation. Now have a look at verses 1 and 2 with me. For the director of music, a psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. Now as King David writes this psalm, as he writes this song, as he writes Psalm 19, he's reflecting on the way that the heavens, which at this point just means the sky, the way that the sky declares the glories of God, the way that the sky proclaims God's handiwork. Now, verse 2 tells us that day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. David is saying the sun actually tells us something about God. David's saying, you know, the moon, the stars and the planets in the night sky, they tell us something about God. Now, we'll think more about the sun in a moment. But in verse 3, in the first half of verse 4, David is saying the sun and the moon and the stars, they don't have speech or words or sound, yet their voice goes out into all the world. Well, how does that work? It seems like David's contradicting himself. Maybe he's having a senior moment. But he's just being poetic as he writes this song. He's saying there's no real words, but the sun and the stars and the moon, they communicate something. They communicate that we are a part of something much, much larger than just Kerwin or even, you know, the city of Townsville. They communicate that there's something out there. There's a massive universe out there, but someone, something actually put the stars in the sky and the moon and the planets. And it's kind of meant to blow our minds as we kind of look up into the night sky. Imagine how crazy it is to look up into the night sky and look at the universe. But imagine the one who actually put that in place. Well, that's pretty amazing, right? Well, from halfway through verse 4 to verse 6, David focuses in on the sun. Let me read those verses to you. It says this. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. Now, back when David's writing this psalm, there were lots of different people groups who worshipped the sun. But here, King David is saying, you know what? God's in charge, and God's in charge of the sun, and God's put the sun in the sky, like he's kind of put the sun like in a tent. And in the morning, the sun kind of comes out of his tent like a bridegroom might come out to kind of try and find his bride. You know, he's bold, he's purposeful. And back in the day, everyone would have been watching that in the community. When the sun comes up, it runs its course from east to west like an athlete. And nothing at all in all of creation is deprived of the sun's warmth. And living here in Townsville, we know that, don't we? We know that all too well. I don't know if you've seen that little video going around on Facebook about humidity. It's a little funny video, and you kind of walk outside and it smacks you in the face. Anyway, if you haven't, it's kind of B-grade, but kind of funny. Ian, get a chance, watch it. But the fact that the sun rises and falls and brings warmth every day, it's a great blessing from God. It points to someone, something being behind creation. Someone bringing order to creation. A predictable rhythm and rhyme that actually enables life to take place. See, the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, they all point to a creator. When I used to be a high school teacher many years ago, 13 years I think, one of the lessons used to involve watching this DVD called Indescribable. Sometimes we sing the song, I don't like it. But anyway, the DVD, Indescribable, it's by a guy called Louis Giglio. Some of you might know it, some of you might have watched it. If you haven't watched it, next time you've got a few minutes to kill, go onto YouTube, you can kind of watch it for a little bit and you kind of get a vibe of what I'm talking about. It's a bit cheesy, it's probably about 13, 14 years old, and I kind of wonder how non-Christians would kind of view it, because there's a minister preaching and everyone's kind of cheering him on, and it's American, of course, it's a bit weird. But when I used to watch it with my students, the year 7 to 9 students would kind of actually watch it. They'd kind of be amazed by what this guy was saying about the universe. And even those really challenging students, the really naughty ones, the boys, you know, those ones, even they would chime in just for a little bit anyway. As Louis talked about how big the Milky Way galaxy is. The Milky Way galaxy that we're a part of is 100,000 light years across. And then he'd try and explain how big a light year is. And it's pretty big. It's 9.46 trillion kilometres. That's how big a light year is. And it kind of goes millions, billions, trillions. So our galaxy, it's 9.46 trillion kilometres times that by 100,000. That's how kind of big our galaxy is. And then he'll explain our solar system. And how actually it's pretty small in comparison to the Milky Way galaxy. It's like a 20-cent piece in comparison to all of America minus Alaska and Columbia. I can't really picture that in my head. But anyway, just think of a 20-cent piece and America. It's quite a big comparison, isn't it? See, our galaxy, our solar system, it's pretty crazy. It's massive, it's beautiful, and it all holds together in just the right way. Our solar system fits into the Milky Way galaxy at just the right point for life to exist here on Earth. And so you know what? When we can go out in the day or at night, we can look up into the sky and we can see the sun and the moon and the stars and planets, and it should wow us. It should make us think, wow, there is someone behind this creation. But I guess the challenge is creation points to a creator, which is wonderful. As we look at creation, it tells us something about the one who kind of created it. But we need to know more. We need to know more about the creator if we're actually going to have a relationship with him. Creation only reveals so much to us. Now, recently I've been reading a book called One Blood. It's a book about how the first missionaries to Australia tried to share the gospel with Aboriginals. It's actually a really full-on book, and generally Christians didn't do a great job. They were confused. They couldn't really separate Christianity from being British. Everyone got confused about that. But at least these missionaries did view Aboriginals as humans with a soul. The rest of the population didn't actually view Aboriginals as human. But anyway, but in part of the book where the author talks about the purpose of missionaries, he says the Aboriginal people, they did know about a creator. They had creation stories. They just needed to hear about Jesus, the one who was there at creation, the one who can restore
their relationship with their Creator. And that really brings us to our second point this morning. Our first point is that God reveals himself to us through creation. Our second point is that God reveals himself more fully to us in his word, the Bible. If you want to be really nerdy, the first point is general revelation. The second point is special revelation. But forget I just said that. And let's move on. Anyway, let's have a look at the first half of verse 7. It says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul." Now, when I think about the law, I've got to admit that the first thought that comes to my mind is not that it's perfect and not that it refreshes my soul. I just don't think that. I think, well, gee, how is that actually true? I don't feel that's true of my life. But you know what? I've kind of got to readjust my thinking a little. David's not referring to the Ten Commandments here. He's referring to the first five books of the Bible. He's referring to the Torah or the Pentateuch. He's referring to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What I think David is actually saying is the Word of God is perfect and refreshes my soul. See, that the first five books were all that David had to work with. But David is saying, you know what? As he read them, they refreshed his soul. That they made it really clear that, you know, that there's a Creator and that we've broken our relationship with that Creator. And the Creator's trying to kind of bring us back into that relationship. And it makes it clear that our sin can be paid for through the blood of animals. It gives us hope. But now, we live in a different time to David, don't we? We don't just have five books. We have 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. We live in the time after the Word actually became flesh and dwelt among us and died and rose again. We live in a different time. We know that Jesus actually restores our relationship with our Creator. See, creation reveals a Creator, but the Word of God reveals how our relationship with our Creator can be restored. That is why the Word actually refreshes our soul. And in the verses that follow, David uses lots of describing words to explain just how great God's word is. See, it makes the simple wise. It gives joy to the heart. It gives light to the eyes. It helps us to fear the Lord, which lasts forever. The word of God, it's righteous. And verse 10 tells us it's more precious than gold, than pure gold. And you know what? It's sweeter. It's sweeter than honey from the comb. Now, I don't know if you've ever eaten honey straight from the comb. Now, I'm not talking about a crunchy or a violet crumble at that point. I'm talking about actually going, you know, from the beehive. When I was in year 10, we did like animal husbandry and we'd go to the beehives and we'd smoke them. You know, you smoke them a little bit, they kind of chill out and they grab a little bit of honey and they chill and you can kind of grab the, you know, you can grab the honey. If you smoke them out a lot, they go psycho. What do you think we did in year 10? We might have created a bushfire, basically, and they'd bite us all. And we'd kind of, it was pretty fun, to be honest. They'd get in your socks. But anyway, we'd go back and then we'd collect the honey. And that honey from the honeycomb, it is sweet. It is super sweet. And for the people of the day, they didn't know anything sweeter. They didn't know about, like, you know the Simpsons, like, there's that Slurpee, like the syrup Slurpee, which just makes you kind of go into a coma. I don't know. They didn't know about that. All they knew was that honey was really sweet. The sweetest thing that they knew. And you know what? David, King David, he's saying, the Bible, God's word, it's better than pure gold. It's sweeter than honey from the comb. And he finishes by saying this in verse 11. He says this, have a look with me there. Verse 11, "By them," that is the words of God, "your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." He's saying, in listening to God, in his word, there is great reward. God's Old Testament people could be in a relationship with their Creator. That they could know how to stay in a relationship with their Creator. They could know how to have life, how to live in the land that God was giving them. Now for us, we live in a different time. And we know that we have the whole Word of God. We have the Bible. And so we know that our relationship can be restored with God differently through Jesus. But we know that in all the Bible, there's actually warnings in there. And there's warnings for us in the New Testament as well. Warnings for us about listening to God's word. And it makes me think of John 3:36, where it says this: "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life,
But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. See, creation reveals to us there's a creator, but it's through God's word that we can actually be restored and know how to be restored to our creator through Jesus. But there's a warning here, right? If you believe in Jesus, you'll have eternal life. If you reject Jesus, God's wrath remains on you. Friends, as we listen to God's word, there is reward in doing what it says, in listening to what it says. God's word is a great gift to us. A great, great gift to us. Now, recently, I've been listening to lots of podcasts. And I've started doing the Bible in a year, but I don't kind of read it out of the Bible. I have an app on my phone, and someone, this guy with a nice voice from America, reads it to me as I kind of walk around, and as I make coffee in the morning, or as I take my dog Rosie for a walk, someone reads the Word of God to me, and hopefully by the end of the year, I'll make my way through it. But as the year begins, I know that I need to be proactive in how I'm going to read the Word. Because as great as holidays are, and I really do love holidays, probably idolise them a bit, I often find that my relationship with God is most crusty, is most dry during the holidays. Most likely as I stop reading the Bible and meeting up with people and praying, as I kind of my own Bible reading gets a bit hazy and I sort of don't really pray and kind of just fit in a little Bible reading somewhere, I get a bit dry and crusty because as I look at creation, I don't think, wow, creation points to a creator. I look at creation and think, wow, I want to worship that. I want to worship that. I want to enjoy that. Well, one of the podcasts I've listened to recently, it's called The One Thing. It's meant to be one thing that helps you in ministry. And one of the presenters said that during January, she was only going to read Christian books and the Bible. She wasn't going to read other books. And she wasn't going to watch Netflix or TV, which sounds pretty full on. But her name's Maddie, and she was saying, you know what? She was saying that she feels like the world is shaping her too much. She could kind of sense it. She said, you know what? I need to be shaped by the Word more than the world. Now, maybe you need to do something similar to that. I think I do. It's really hard to stay excited about God's Word. It's really hard to stay excited about the gospel. It's hard to want to keep giving up your life to love and serve others. That's really hard. And so we need to be reminded of what God's word says. We need to be reminded of the beauty of God's word. Because, friends, the Bible is actually better than pure gold. It's sweeter than honey from the comb. It refreshes your soul. It brings joy. But unless we're in the word regularly, unless we're reflecting on the word regularly, what it's saying and praying in response to it, unless we're reflecting on the fact that we are sinners with no hope whatsoever except for Jesus, well, then we'll forget just how amazing God's word is. See, when we get that God reveals himself to us in creation, when we get that through his word we can be restored to our Creator, well, then we should want to live a life that's actually pleasing to our Creator. And that's how our psalm this morning finishes. David ends with a plea for God to help him to live a life that's pleasing to God. Now, in verse 12, David asks God to forgive him for his hidden faults. I think what David's saying is, God, please forgive me for the things I do that I don't even know that I'm doing the wrong thing. Please forgive me for those things. And then in verse 13, he says, you know what? He's saying, don't let sins that I actually want to do, don't let those sins rule over me. And you know what? We all have sin, if we're honest. We all have sin that we want to do. Don't let that sin rule over us. He's saying to God, because of who you are, because you've revealed yourself to us, please help me to live a life that honours you. And he finishes the psalm by saying this in verse 14. He says this, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. See, David wants to live a life that's pleasing to God because God has revealed himself to David and to us. Well, as we get ready for another year, where we'll be distracted and distressed by COVID-19 or the spicy cough, as the next generation are calling it, what is your prayer? What is your request of God? It might be that God would look after you and care for your family. That is a great prayer. It's a prayer that I've been praying. You might have other prayers as well. You might be struggling with other areas of your life. But don't forget David's prayer from Psalm 19. That because God has revealed himself to us, because he's revealed to us how we can actually have a relationship with him, how Jesus can pay for our sin, well, then we should want to live a life that's actually pleasing to God. And so this week, can I encourage you to go outside, probably at night time, and look up into the sky, and you know what? And see the stars and the moon and the planets, and be blown away. There's a creator behind that. He made that and put that in place. But that's not the end of the story. He's actually kind of had his word written down for us. In fact, his son, who is the word in the flesh, came into the world. Get into the Bible. Dust it off if you have to. But read it. That's where God speaks to us. That's where he refreshes our soul. It doesn't refresh our soul in Netflix or wherever else. He refreshes our soul in the word as we gather with others. Friends, can I encourage you this year, as you struggle through all the stuff that will come your way, can I encourage you to pray a prayer that because of who God is, because he's revealed himself to you, that you would want to live a life that is pleasing to God, no matter what's going on around you. That's really hard. So let's pray that we'd want to do that. And I want to pray by just praying those verses on the screen. So let me pray those verses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, who can discern their own errors? Father, please forgive our hidden faults. Father, please also keep us from willful sins. May they not rule over us. Then we will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. May these words of our mouth and this meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And Father, we pray all of these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.